Blessings to Israel presents Discerning the Times, a program committed to encouraging you to view current events through the lens of the Bible. Now, in honor of the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please join us for today's program.
Welcome to the program. So glad to be with you once again this week. My name is Brian Thomas, and I am delighted to be here today to help you discern the times by viewing life through the lens of the Bible. Being joined by my co-host, Dr. Bruce Logan. Doc, so good to have you along as well.
It's good to be here. And again, I'm so excited for this opportunity, for this platform, and looking forward to where God takes
us. We're continuing this week our discussion on As It Was in the Days of Noah. So this is part three, as we had an overview, a high-level overview right before Christmas concerning how this relates to the second coming of Christ. As Jesus said about his first coming, he said the religious leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were not discerning of the times, although they could discern the weather. And we see a repeat today, I think, because there are a lot today who are not discerning of what is taking place. And there are people that are world leaders who really have some motives out there that are not on the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we truly believe that we see the Bible unfolding before our eyes. You know, I am one, Doc, that I am careful not to be a sensationalist when it comes to these things. There are some out there that teach on these subjects, and every news headline that comes out, they say, oh, this is related to Bible prophecy. And I don't think every single thing that happens is necessarily a fulfillment of prophecy. But I do think we must use wisdom and discernment and being aware that there are things that Jesus said to look forward to. And so one of the things that, you know, we've been unpacking is the fact that there's a man by the name of Yuval Noah Harari, and he is now advocating for biometric surveillance under the skin. And this is what he wants to do. And when we really think this is what the scripture is speaking of, when it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the second coming of the Lord would be. And we know in the days of Noah, there were a hybrid race of people that were products of fallen angels having come down and having physical intercourse with the women and producing this hybrid race of people. And so what we see taking place today may not be the exact same method by which the devil is bringing that about, because we know those angels, they were locked away in Genesis chapter 6, and that is where they will remain until the Lord brings them out for their judgment. But I think that what we see today is a merging of technology with human beings in a way to control. So Doc, before we get into the first clip, you have any thoughts just as we carry over from last week on the topic?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, you know, because you opened the show, and we talked on the last episode about the scripture where Jesus rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees, explaining that or rebuking them, telling them that you're able to read the signs and know when to plant, when to pluck, but you're not able to discern the signs of the times. And we often read that passage of scripture and we don't notice something very significant. And that is the fact that these were not only the religious leaders of the day, but they had the actual literal person who their prophets described standing right in front of them. They had the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, standing right in front of them, speaking with them, performing miracles in front of them, yet they were not able to discern. And if anybody should have been able to discern, it should have been those religious leaders. And I just think that that's a message that needs to resonate today.
That's an excellent point, Doc. And I just want to say, take a moment to say to the listeners out there, if you are in a church and your leaders never talk about these type of topics, and I know some steer clear of it because they say it's controversial. They say it's a playground for the fanatics and they don't want to be associated with it and all of that. But listen, these are serious times that we are living in, and we need to be discerning. So I encourage you to approach your pastor and encourage him to address these topics. And if he refuses to do so, then I really think you need to consider looking elsewhere, because we don't want to be like those Pharisees and Sadducees of the days of Jesus, who they did not discern, even though, as you said, God in the flesh was standing right there in front of them, and yet they were in denial. So we're going to continue today to unpack it more. Again, we're going to share some clips from Yuval Noah Harari. He is an Israeli historian who is really making great waves right now. He's a professor at the Department of History at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. And his book in 2014, Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind, is what really has put him on the map. Let's continue from where we left off last week with listening to another clip from Harari. And he's really, really speaking some things that should really get your attention as a believer in Christ.
I think that within, say, 200 years, to give a conservative estimate, there won't be Homo sapiens on planet Earth.
200 years?
200 years. And I think this is a conservative estimate.
Wow.
Maybe even 100 years. It's not that we'll destroy ourselves in some calamity. Much more likely, we will use advanced technology, biotechnology, nanotechnology, direct brain-computer interfaces to upgrade Homo sapiens into different kinds of beings, beings which are different from us, much more than we are different from Neanderthals, beings which will have different bodies, different minds, different brains. I mean, the big products of the coming century will not be shoes or clothes or cars or weapons. The big products of the 21st century are going to be bodies and minds. So I think we are heading towards the upgrading of Homo sapiens into gods.
So Doc, he is now advocating that we can upgrade humans into gods.
It just goes to show you that we're living in a time where heresies are very much prevalent in our world. But in this particular instance, it's beyond that, because I believe it's another one of the examples of when Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah. And what happened during the days of Noah is that there was an intermingling with God's perfect order, where outside forces commingled with human beings and impacted the human genome. In fact, if you talk, going back to look at the instance of the flood, that's really what was occurring, is the fact that intercourse between fallen angels and human women interfered with the human gene pool, because Jesus could not come unless it was through a perfect genetic gene pool. Mm-hmm. Well, even though now it's fast forwarding to today that, oh, and by the way, some scholars believe that Noah and his family were the only individuals who remained on Earth who had not, whose bloodline had not been tainted by this corrupted gene pool. But that's just a little nugget I wanted to throw in. But the point of the matter is that the same type of principle or concept is being suggested, where mankind now through technology wants to try to attempt to do the same thing that happened during the time of Noah, where the God's perfect order attempted to be interfered with in order to bring about this hybrid race of human beings where they are controlled by technology. And that just, again, another sign that we are living in a time when we can easily see the return of our Lord. And the thing that's important to keep in mind is that this is not some pie-in-the-sky theory. As you pointed out earlier, you talked about, you used the term extremism. This is not that. This is actual coming from the mouths of the people who are promoting this idea. The technology is available right now in order to accomplish this very thing. And that is the thing that we need to be alarmed about. And also, this Dr. Harari is a very, very popular figure among world leaders. He's been invited to speak at their conferences. He's on the board of directors with Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum. So this is just not some conspiracy theory type idea. This is something that's actually happening in our day right before our eyes. And we as believers need to be aware and discerning to recognize what's happening in our world. Because this is no joke. This is no theory. You know, a theory is when people speculate, you have like ideas that people randomly throw around. I know this is something that's like coming right from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like directly in your face, no ifs, ands, or buts, no ambiguity. This is what we want to try to accomplish.
Yeah, it is definitely out there. And Genesis chapter 6, folks, read it and look at what Jesus said in Matthew 24:37, when he said, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." And I think about today, Doc, how we can forecast on the news. You know, we look at the meteorologists and they can predict the weather for 10 days or more out. And yet so many people, though, are not discerning of what we are seeing happening right before us. And so let's continue to listen to some more clips from Harari. He's speaking of how the government can shape the people.
Ideally, you have people forming up opinions and desires and then voting for a government that represents them. But we know it works both ways. The government has enormous power to shape the opinions and desires of the population. Mm-hmm. And this power only increases today with the new technologies of surveillance, mass surveillance, and social media, and so forth. So when the government can, the government is not just responsive to the will of the people, it can shape the will of the people. And this really destabilizes the democratic system. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, the media has an enormous role to play in this, that if the government has too much control over the media, then it's not like people are forming their own independent views about what's happening. We now have the power, or at least not we, but some governments and corporations for the first time in history have the power to basically hack human beings. There is a lot of talk about hacking computers, hacking smartphones, hacking bank accounts, but the big story of our era is the ability to hack human beings. And by this I mean that if you have enough data and you have enough computing power, you can understand people better than they understand themselves, mm-hmm. and then you can manipulate them in ways which were previously impossible. Mm-hmm. And in such a situation, the old democratic system stopped functioning. We need to reinvent democracy for this new era in which humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over.
So, Doc, this sounds to me like the system of the Antichrist.
It's 100% the spirit of the Antichrist. And when you just, if you were to break that clip down, he says that the government has the power to shape the will of the people. All right, think about that. The governments have the power to shape the will of the people. He said that humans are like hackable animals in which a government has the power in order to eliminate this idea of free will, which is what God gave mankind, free will. I mean, that was something that's given to us by God. So in other words, they're saying that we need to have a generation of robots. And now, to put it into more perspective, there's a movement that's being postulated to prevent humans from being able to think for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So to be controlled and to not be able to think for themselves. And that's kind of scary because so many people who just kind of seem to me in this day and time lack the ability to think for themselves even without having any implants put in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you think about, you know, having forced implants put in people to prevent people from thinking for themselves who already don't think for themselves, that's a very scary proposition in my opinion. But the point also is that the media, he pointed out, he talked about the technology and the media and the power to influence that's in the media. And we've been seeing that for the past 20 years or so because 90% of the media is controlled by one worldview, one political side of the spectrum pretty much dominates virtually 90% or more of our media, giving a one-sided narrative. And by doing that, I heard somebody say, he who has the control of the narrative has the power over the people. Mm-hmm. And the amount of control that our narrative has, that social media has, that the power of pop culture has over people, they're controlling the narrative. When Hollywood is producing programs and movies and TV shows that are depicting the normalization, for an example, of homosexual lifestyles and projecting that as normal, like there's no big deal, you're actually using that platform in order to manipulate or control or influence the minds of the people, because it's depicting that culture or that lifestyle as normalized, whereas God calls it an abomination. The whole idea behind this is to be controlled by the spirit of Antichrist versus being controlled by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Mm-hmm. That's really what's behind all of this.
Exactly. Because we know that the Antichrist is going to attempt to force people to worship him, and as opposed to worshiping the true God. And you made an excellent point. I'm so glad you highlighted the whole thing of not wanting people to be able to think for themselves, because we see that spirit already in the land today. Because if you just question the origin of certain things, certain viruses, or if you even say when it comes to certain treatments, well, I just want to maybe wait and see how this is going to play out. Let's test it more or something. The reactions that you see from people, I mean, they are just irreconcilably upset with you. And you see that right now where people are not allowed to think for themselves. That spirit is there. And we're going to see the Antichrist. He's going to try to implement it through other measures during the tribulation. So let's continue to listen as Harari goes on to talk more about human beings being hackable animals.
Here to talk about our future, both the future of our species, Homo sapiens, and about your own personal future. And nobody really knows what the world would look like in 2050. The only thing we know for sure is that it will be a very, very different world than today. And perhaps the most important thing to know about the future is that humans will soon be hackable animals, animals that can be hacked. There is a lot of talk these days about hacking computers and email accounts and smartphones and bank accounts, but we are actually entering the era in which it will be possible to hack human beings. Now, what does it mean to hack a human being? It means to create an algorithm that can understand you better than you understand yourself, and can therefore predict your choices, manipulate your desires, and make decisions on your behalf.
So what they want to do is have a system, computerized system, in which you are unable to make decisions yourself. It will make decisions for you. And I heard recently Elon Musk made the statement that he would, from this company that he has that are making brain implants, brain chips, he's going to have one implanted in his brain as a demonstration to people that this is okay, this is acceptable. So we see these things happening, folks. It is unfolding. I mean, we're not making this stuff up. It is happening, and the technology is there. I want to share one last clip, and then Doc, I'm going to give you the final word before we close out today. But as you mentioned last week, and you mentioned this week, that there are many world leaders, influential world leaders, who are on board with what this man Harari wants to do. And again, some people out there may say, well, this guy's a quack. Why are you wasting your time talking about him? That is because he's having influence over a lot of world leaders. So listen in this last clip, and then Doc will give you the final words.
Just as God in the Bible designs and creates animals and plants and humans according to his wishes, now we are learning how to design and create life.
You Yuval Harari thinks big for a living. Not so long ago, he was an obscure history professor, but his 2014 book, Sapiens, changed all that. He explored the past, cramming 150,000 years of human history into 400 pages.
Authority will shift.
Transforming himself into a literary phenomenon.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome once again, Yuval Noah Harari.
Name dropped by the likes of Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, and Barack Obama.
The other book that I really enjoyed, a book by an Israeli author, Yuval Harari.
His follow-up book, Homo Deus, tackled the future, elevating Harari to a sort of digital visionary.
There you have it, folks. Revelation 17, 1 and 2 says, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Folks, this is speaking spiritually about what is going to happen in the last days. And we see today the kings of the earth. You heard right there Barack Obama giving his endorsement. You heard Bill Gates. You heard that Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook. These men have tremendous influence in the world. And it says that, well, you know, they're going along with what Harari wants to do. So could this be fulfillment of what Revelation 17 speaks of? You know, time will tell. But Doc, again, as you said earlier, these are things that should really catch the attentions of believers.
Yeah, and just in the brief time that we have left, you know, basically I would just like to go and kind of give this brief summary that I kind of jotted some things down. And this is not all encompassing. Daniel 12 and 4 says that in the last days, knowledge shall increase. Let me just repeat that again. It says in the last days, knowledge shall increase. And then when you fast forward to the book of Revelation, which we've been talking quite a bit about, we see some things that 30, 40 years ago, as I pointed out early, we really had no, even some of the most astute Bible prophecy teachers had really no serious idea as to how some of this could happen. But now we see the technology available that everything that the book of Revelation described that was the thing that was going to happen, the technology is now available to accomplish pretty much everything. I just wanted to point out a few examples. One of the things that used to be a point of debate among Bible scholars was the scripture in Revelation 1 and 7 that says, every eye shall see him. And there used to be a debate as to how that could happen. How could people living in impoverished nations see him? Or people living in Afghanistan in the caves still see him? Well, nobody's asking that question today, because with technology, with satellite feeds, with cell phones, it's amazing, because people in underprivileged countries, some of the most poorest countries in the world, have satellite TV and have cell phones. Now just think about that. So now the technology is in existence now, and it's readily available, that every eye will be able to see him when he returns. They'll be able to see him on Facebook Live somewhere, or somebody's going to be shooting their camera up in the air, on YouTube, satellite feed, or cable. I mean, every eye will literally be able to see the Lord when he comes, because the technology exists, and that's what's important to remember. And also, we talked earlier about the mark of the beast technology with the implantation of this technology under the skin. That technology is readily available. And, you know, so we no longer have to ask, how is it going to be possible for a world leader to implement a one world economic system? Because now we see the technology readily available. But then not only have we seen the technology readily available, but because of the worldwide COVID-19 pandemic, we are now have seen the establishment of the precedent, or the model for just how a world leader will be able to come around and initiate a one world economic system, because all that is needed is another world crisis like the rapture, for an example. So imagine the chaos that's going to exist when an event like the rapture takes place. It's going to make the worldwide COVID-19 pandemic seem like just a little minor skirmish by comparison. Mm-hmm. And so what happened with the one COVID-19 pandemic there, you know, the world leaders used that as a pretext in order to control world economics, to shut down economies, so forth. And so the precedent now, not only does the technology exist, but now we have a precedent, a model to follow for the one world government or the Antichrist to take over. And then, and add, and I'm just going to say this real quick, the technology for humans to initiate mass destruction, that never existed before on planet Earth, prior to the invention of the A-bomb, and I believe that was in the late 40s, if I'm not mistaken. So we now, and that's basically just, what, 60, 70 years ago, or something to that effect? So now we have that technology. And then also what we're seeing in our day and time now, we're seeing the rise and the promotion of globalism, which is basically, you can summarize everything that you spoke about or that you played in those clips with Dr. Harari, where he was promoting this idea of globalism, this idea of a one world government, a one world economic system, a one world religious system. We're seeing the advocacy of this one world language being used by world leaders all around the world, and it's become like normal language, you know. And then also the normalization of secularism around the world. These are all things that we're seeing now, as in the days of Noah, that's coming to pass in our time right before our eyes. And as believers, we need to be discerning, or we need to be the most discerning citizens in the world.
Yeah, well said. Well said. What a great note to end on. I'm glad that you mentioned the rapture, because, folks, that is what we as believers in Christ are looking forward to. These things that we've been discussing, the total fulfillment of them will take place after we have gone on to heaven, and we will be enjoying the marriage supper with our Lord as these things are unfolding on earth. That is for those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if you have not done that, I encourage you to accept him today while you have breath in your body. So, Dr. Logan, so glad to have you on board. Great discussion this week, and we look forward to having you back again next week as we continue to discern the times.
God bless you.
All right. And to our listeners, please come back and join us next week again as we continue to encourage you to discern the times by viewing life through the lens of the Bible. Until then, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Bless God's great nation of Israel. To the only wise God be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Discerning the Times. Please come back and join us next week as we continue to encourage you to view current events through the lens of the Bible. Until next time, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, bless God's great nation of Israel, and seek first the kingdom of God.
Discerning the Times is presented by Blessings to Israel.